Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie. Do I need to say more?
No, you need to say more. No. Life is good. Life's really good.
Is that what we're saying now? Is that what we're saying?
Life's good?
Yeah.
No,
is that a quote for the week, for the year?
I've got a dog barking in the background. Yeah. Life is real. How about that? Life's real.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking.
What's the meaning of life, Julie? Can you tell me?
I mean, in a nutshell, if you're following some people, you know, it is walking on the pin of the needle between chaos and order. Always trying for expansion, yet maintaining on what works.
I didn't know that a needle had a pin.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? Is that not how the saying goes? Something like that?
I don't know. There's an eye of a needle.
The tip of a pen. Tip of a whatever. The top of a needle. So very, there's nothing there.
It's the head
very,
of a pin?
There you go. Yeah. Head of a pin.
Okay, well, we'll get there.
Something like that. But you guys get what I'm talking about.
So you just kind of, it's sort of like drunk history where you're doing drunk metaphysics, understanding the meaning of life.
Exactly. You know how things happen in threes, and I always take notice of that, and I share that with the audience and our family out there.
Yes.
This was a very weird threesome this I had this week.
What was it?
Fart jokes. I was hearing fart jokes all over the place.
Oh, my God.
By adults in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Like professional comedians, podcasters, just laughing hysterically on fart jokes.
Fart jokes.
And I yet thought, you know what? Thank the Lord. Because sometimes a fart joke is just funny. We all do it.
Yeah.
We all fart.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I'm going to share the three fart jokes. I almost think they degraded through the course of the week. Like I had a highbrow fart joke.
Yeah.
Which I thought, oh, this was
a good fart joke.
This was a good fart joke.
Yeah. Well, even last night I was watching a repeat of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And in one scene, Jennifer Lopez, who is, you know, the host.
Yes.
Farts.
Farts.
They put a fart sound in.
That I'm kind of as one of number three.
Oh, were you?
And that was lowbrow.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. That was lowbrow.
I
we start with the lowbrow first.
Okay.
That was lowbrow.
Did I?
It was just, she's being sexy and she farted.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez farted. I get you. The first one.
I think it'd be more funny if they shat themselves. No, sharded themselves.
I think it would have been funny if they shat or sharded themselves if Jennifer Lopez would have farted, because it was a very cute fart. It wasn't like a full blown out.
No, Jennifer Lopez would not fart like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you thought that was Jennifer Lopez farting. I thought that was the guy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
But I might have gotten the whole skit wrong.
Oh.
But let's say,
now, maybe I did.
No, I'm now assuming it was Jennifer Lopez. They wrote in Saturday Night Live that Jennifer Lopez lets one out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, good for them. What a leap. You're right on the edge there, Saturday Night Live. Jennifer Lopez farts, and it's funny. I think we all know we fart. This last weekend, I guess it was sometime I was out at Hillary and Dave's house with Doug, and they had brought Lou Malnati's pizza over, and I had one slice. And one slice is enough, really.
A Lou Malnati's,
It really is. So I'm having one slice. And it's not, you know, sometimes I think that different locations, even though it's the same brand, doesn't taste the same.
And there's a reason for that. You know that, don't you?
It's the water.
Yeah.
But supposedly they ship the water in.
Yeah, Lou Malnati's only uses Lake Michigan water. And that's why it's so damn good.
Exactly. And so anyway, my stomach was filling up with gas. I could just tell. But I wasn't, and I really wanted to pass that gas, but I just chose not to. Like, I didn't know how. I'm like, wow, my stomach is really filling up with gas. It could be a really loud one.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just like, boom, you know, like, what the hell is that? Oh, excuse me, that was my Lou Malnati's gas. I call that Louie. That was Louis. You know, I don't know. You know, wouldn't it be funny if when you had gas.
You named it?
No, it actually sounded like the word that created it.
Oh, lovely. Fart.
Or pizza. Fart. Pizza.
Yeah.
Cheetah dog.
Yeah, Norms. Cheetos.
Cheetos. Yeah, that'd be hysterical. But they
hot Doritos.
Like, what was that? Oh, excuse me. I, you know.
Oh, we know. We know. Hot Doritos.
No one has a comment. We all know. We all got it.
Because they, you know, that, and you know what? That would be, instead of truth or dare.
Yeah.
I mean, that would, you know, like you're like, oh, Julie, have you been on your program? Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Then how come your fart just said Arby's cookies?
Exactly. It's like there are no lies. Everything is transparent. We're all plugged into the consciousness.
All right, Julie farts. Oh, good one, Julie. Broccoli.
Good one. You're on broccoli, your program. Good. Proud of you, Julie. Yeah. Keep strong. Keep strong. Yeah. Could you now sniff again. Our dogs here. Listen quietly. Broccoli and cheese.
Well, I heard there's a new game that people are playing at baby showers.
Uh-huh.
And the game it's called diapers. And what you do is you have like 12 different diapers and you take 12 different candy bars.
Yes.
And you melt them in the microwave in the diapers.
Yes.
And then people have to go, they open the diapers and they have to take a little bite of the stuff in the diapers.
Yes.
And tell which candy bar it was.
I'm surprised you mentioned this because I've played this game.
You have played the game?
It is gross. It looks like baby turds.
That's exactly right.
It really does. Keep it there a little bit further. Thank you. It looks like baby turds. It really does. And there's a point where your brain does not know how to differentiate.
Uh-huh.
And you're going,
you're thinking,
do they take a crap in this?
Oh, no, it's just a Milky Way.
Or like, and I thought the Butterfinger was weird.
Was it?
Because it had like crunchiness to it. Yeah. Like a couple, not Butterfinger. That was weird.
Yeah.
Baby Finger. Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth. Because, you know, you've seen Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
And so you microwave that, right?
Yeah.
And then there's like a little bit of chunks in there, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of peanuts. Yeah. And you're like going, oh, this is wrong. And you pat, and at some point you're just laughing.
What's the best one, Twix?
I try to think. I think Baby Ruth's were good. Mm-hmm. I think peanut butter.
Reese's peanut butter yes. cups.
Yes.
In a diaper. That's good.
M&M's weren't so because they had a little color to them. I think also Snickers wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like real substantial mm-hmm. poop.
Ah.
And the way it works is they microwave it and they take a spatula and they take it off and they spatula it into the diaper.
Yeah.
And you're just going, oh, come on. This is weird.
I did not know you played that game before.
I did play that game. Just once before.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was my best friend's son was having a baby
mm-hmm.
and I got invited to go and I'm like, oh, how lovely, you know, this is lovely. And you know, people just don't change necessarily. I love this kid. He's a sweet kid. He's a man now. He's a man. But you know, he's just one of those kids that are just never really wouldn't harm you, always good there for a good time, just a sweet kid. But you couldn't count on him to be anywhere he was supposed to be at mm-hmm. any given time. Mm-hmm. You just couldn't, you know? Mm-hmm.
And unless he's in jail.
Right. And, of course, he...
Then you know where he's at.
He literally show up to his, you know, to his own baby shower with his baby mama.
Late?
Oh, half hour late. I was like, this is so him. This is so him. You know, I mean, he's a functioning adult male now. But, you know, mm-hmm. why show up? Really, the party doesn't begin until I get there, right? Well, yeah, you're right. It doesn't begin because you're a party.
So I'm sorry to have interrupted your fart joke. Go ahead and go back to your fart thing.
Well, now I'm debating if I mentioned this last week about the one I heard on medical police.
No, but it was a good one.
So here is I call this my highbrow. So
yeah.
I thought they went. They
I loved that show.
They knocked it out of the ballpark.
I watched it one day. I binged on it.
Yep. Because they're only 20 minutes long.
Yes.
The makers of Children's Hospital on Adult Swim. So get it. It's not about the children. Okay, it's not about the children. It's just the idea that it's adult, it's children's hospital, and really, it's not about the children at all. Anyway, so they're called medical police, and they have
no,
to...
No, they don't. It's not called that.
What's it called?
Medical police.
What did I say?
Medical police.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's called medical police, right?
I think
okay.
so.
It's that medical police.
Medical police.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I don't know, but something that you got to have the swag. You got to have some swag there.
Yeah. And they're really saving the world against this virus. I mean, it's pretty amazing what they did.
Yeah.
And they walk into this, their quest for the antidote and the virus leads into this club called Club.
Club.
Amsterdam, right?
Yes.
And you walk in, and it's dead silent because everybody has beats on their head. Like
I know, it's so funny
and
as hell.
All dancing and doing like club
and
dancing.
It's absolutely silent except for farts.
Yeah. Everybody's farting, and they go, the doctors go, well, we just didn't realize people farted this much while dancing. Yeah. I'm like, really? Really? Because I remember going
so
to the club,
great.
You're drinking alcohol, and then you're jumping up and down. Yeah. You're grateful for the loud music. That's all you do is fart.
That was so beautiful, though. I actually laughed out loud. You go walk into a club, there's dead silence. Everybody's wearing these beats on their head.
That was funny enough.
That was funny, but they took it to the next level.
And the farting. I go, that was over the stage or bandstand or the whatever.
The DJ.
Bleachers. Yeah, and it was a home run. And so the next one was... I listened to Adam Carolla's podcast, and he is now telling you before the podcast, like, okay, audience, you know, okay, want to say thank you for listening. You're going to really enjoy this podcast. I'm literally laughing on the floor, and you know I don't usually laugh at my own stuff, but this time I did. And I'm like, oh,
I got to hear this one.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my first thought was.
Yeah.
He kind of set me up to be disappointed.
Oh, see, that's the kiss of death.
That is a kiss of death.
You don't set somebody up to have high expectations.
No, it was funny. I've heard better.
What was it?
Okay, so AJ somebody, I can't think of who it was. Doesn't matter. He had his nephew, who's like 35 years old, sends him his farts. And they're really long. And he played one over the radio. And he played it, you know, and it was like literally 30 seconds long.
Oh, my God.
And what's funny is that he's in his 30s, sending it to his comedic uncle, who's in his 50s or 60s. Uh-huh. And...
that is pretty good.
Alone, yeah. Right? Yeah. And then they did, they matched it up with like Honda motorcycles from the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And you couldn't tell the difference.
No.
Because like it was like the motors of motorcycles in that day sound just like farts. And I was like, oh, this requires some attention.
Yeah.
I go, this is hysterical. And then do you remember the guy who produced Scorpion?
No.
Created Scorpion. I think his name is Santori. He's a Finnish producer, TV producer. But if I'm not mistaken, Adam Carolla says that guy sends him recordings of his farts.
No.
And so the idea that these men...
Sending Adam.
Or anybody, sending each other fart noises.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, you know, is this something that's going on? Like Doug has... He texts his bros. There's a group of five of them.
Yeah.
All day long. Mm-hmm. They're all on this one list, mm-hmm. and they text each other shit, and they all text each other back. And I'm wondering, are they secretively, you know, recording their farts?
Yeah.
I would be curious to know.
I would be, too.
And I love to, you know, and
I love this idea, though, of naming them, or no, them naming themselves.
Yes.
Because then they, you know, because I like the fact that you can't lie.
Yes.
Your farts tell the truth.
You can't say, oh, it was a dog. Or the dog would say, my dog's poop would go like, fart would go like this. Fecal matter. My neighbor's poop. Because that's what he eats.
That gives him a little gas.
Yeah, it gives him gas. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That kind of fell flat. That's kind of, today, it was a cold, cold morning up here in Northern Illinois. We had the Weather Channel on because I'm old. I guess I love the Weather Channel. But they're talking about the 10 extreme places to live in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
One was
extreme?
Yuma. Yeah. Yuma.
Oh,
Texas,
sure.
It's always above 100.
No, it's Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. Excuse me. Arizona. Yuma, Arizona.
We know about Yuma because that's the when you go to dental vacations in Mexico.
That's the crossover.
That's the stop you go to. You go to Yuma.
Yep.
You get off. You take the trolley across the. This is where there is no wall because you go right there cross into Mexico. And get your dental vacation.
Yes, your dental vacation. Not to be. And there is no dental dam there.
No.
You may think that there would be. I would have thought there would be a dental dam
so
for
dry
your dental
there.
Vacation, but it's so dry.
It's dry. Exactly. There. It's dry there.
Okay. So anyway.
You got to go to Vegas.
To get your dental dam?
For the dam.
Got it.
Went to the dam.
To get the dam water.
Told the damn man.
Take a damn water.
So he told the damn man to keep his damn water. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't
so
say
what it. Was the third fart joke, though?
Well,
are you getting there?
No, I you had told the first
one. Oh, the
one.
Jennifer Lopez one?
Yes.
Well, you're missing one that I know of.
Oh, then tell me one. So there's four this week.
I think so. I thought there was one that was pretty funny.
Tell me.
So we're watching Medical Police again.
Uh-huh.
And one of the, I don't know, you know, persons in the medical police thing, she farts and she goes, oh, I've been waiting so long to birth that one. And then all of a sudden there's another little toot and she goes,
twins.
Oh, twins.
And
then she goes, such a blessing. I almost lost the line.
Yeah. You almost lost it while you saw it.
Yeah.
But yes, it was like, they're in a fart room. That is now there. So I guess in the hospital there's sometimes a fart room where you can go, which I think is very interesting. Now they,
especially if you work in a hospital, you need a place where you can go and just fart, especially if you're the medical personnel.
Exactly.
So she's there and she went, oh, I've been waiting so long to birth that one.
I know.
And then there was a quick one and she went, twins, a blessing, such a blessing.
Which I think is interesting because in my mind growing up, the difference between us and Europe, and I don't know if this would be true or not.
It's true.
Is that Europeans have no problem passing gas.
And they have been taught and programmed. You do not keep that inside of you.
Yes. They're not even, it's not even funny.
No.
It's not funny. It's just, you just pass gas.
Yeah.
But then I heard the other day that German men, pee sitting down. Like it's a thing. You must
pee sitting down. It's not just a thing.
I don't know what that's
There's
for.
There's signs in all the bathrooms.
Yes.
You know, please sit down.
Yes.
If you're a male.
Yes. Please sit down. Not to scare the woman next to you that your feet are pointing towards the toilet.
Well, not only that, but they do that because of the tourists. The men want to stand. And they're like, no, you cannot stand. You
because of tourists?
Tourists.
Yeah, because, right.
Because American men don't know about sitting down.
Peeing. Right. But yes, so they put the signs up because the Germans wouldn't need the signs.
No.
Got it.
Yeah.
The Germans would say, take his damn signs.
I went to Germany to get some Germany signs. Told the damn Germans to keep their damn signs.
German said, you can have your damn signs. I don't know. It's there. There's something there. I was listening, you know, back in the day, I remember you had a talk with your brother, your younger brother, your youngest brother. And I'm switching the signs kind of a totally off base here, but
oh, I have another something fart too.
Oh, well,
I think
fart thing first. No,
well, it's
let's
not
go
really
there.
A fart thing.
Okay. Okay. Tell me.
Well, this is a little thing about you.
All right.
You went to, because you're on the board of our utility district, you're the treasurer. And so you have to go to meetings. And these meetings sometimes take place, like this one took place in our president's home.
Yes.
And you basically you are the only female in this whole sea of men.
At this one meeting, you're exactly right.
Right. Yeah. So what I wanted to say was you went in and they're at this dining, you're at the dining room table.
Yes.
But it's kind of a pub. How you tell me it's a pub dining room.
Which I
it's
just
tall.
Hate.
Yeah, they're tall seats. They're pub. Yeah.
It's a dining room table that's tall and with pub seats.
Yeah.
Like,
who
really
knows why? Yeah. So you sit down at the only place that's available because there's lots of the men there, you know.
Yeah.
And you realize that the way the sun is shining on you and this thing, you realize that you haven't tweezed your chin.
I'm fearful that the work I did was good.
Not enough.
Was good for our subdued lighting.
Yeah.
And Douglas with his glasses.
Right.
Poor vision.
Right.
But now I am literally, the sun is shining directly on me.
Yeah, so it's like, ooh, an angel. Ooh,
yeah,
and
exactly.
All these men are there. Mm-hmm. And you all of a sudden start feeling very, very awkward.
Yes.
And so you I don't know how you do it, but you get up and try and find another pub chair.
I scoot my pub chair
oh,
4 feet inches
got
to
it.
The right.
Oh, got it. Okay, so you move your pub chair so that the sun is not directly shining on you angelically, right?
Right, exactly.
So, but you're not used to pub chairs.
Not at all.
And so this meeting is progressing and you've moved your chair, but now you tell me there's another thing.
Yes.
Another thing happens.
Issue is
and this is, you said your coochie is falling asleep.
Yes.
And it's getting more painful and painful all the time, but you're not going to
not painful with a capital P, but just very uncomfortable because it's like pins and needles.
Coochie with a small P.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, but to the extent that you must do something.
Right.
And so you, but you don't know what to do. It's a table full of men. Mm-hmm. You're in a tall pub chair. You've already moved your chair over 4 inches.
Yeah, it just looks really bizarre. People,
and so now you're like, what do I do? Because I have to wake my coochie up.
Yes.
Without saying, hello, men, I need to stop this meeting.
Right.
As treasurer.
Excuse me for me standing up in, with you guys. Everybody else remain seated.
Yeah.
Remain seated slightly because we're all on pub chairs for 12 feet high.
So tell the world what you did.
I just stood up
and said, my back hurts me.
Yeah, I did say, excuse me, my back hurts.
And you stood up and you walked around
yeah.
until your coochie became awake again.
Yes.
And then you went back to your pub chair.
Yes. Yes.
I thought that was a great story.
It's a wonderful story yeah. because
I mean, it has nothing to do with farts.
Yeah, it didn't have to do with farts. But
men do not get that coochies fall asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if testicles do.
No, I don't know either. I mean, they could fall asleep.
Or maybe penises.
I don't know.
It seems to me testicles would fall asleep more than penises.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's a problem.
Like, you know what? Like the Grand Prix or what's the name of that French bicycle race?
Oh, yes.
Tour de France.
Tour de France, yeah. The Tour of France, Tour de France, yes.
That one.
That one, yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what kind of ball play is, you know.
We're pretty sure it's a lot because, I mean, we know that he, you know, our best and most flawed cyclist, Lance Armstrong, had to testicular cancer.
Oh, yeah?
I'm assuming it's because of all the biking he did. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's cause and effect.
Right.
Could be a, you know, association. Being bouncing on your balls and testicles for all day.
Yeah, either, yeah, what's the choice? Falling
yeah.
asleep? Or
like, yeah.
Can you imagine if they have little breaks in the Tour de France for the balls yeah. to wake up?
I mean, the truth is they probably do fall asleep, but you can't yeah. do anything about it.
What are you going to do?
Stop, let the guy behind you get ahead?
But you know, in the Peloton commercial?
Yes.
At the very end, they always stand up.
They stand up. There's a reason for that.
That's the reason.
There's a reason for it.
Either their coochies or their... falling asleep,
yep.
or possibly they could be farting.
Or both, yes. Because I don't have to typically raise my tush to pass gas.
Oh, a lot of people do.
I know, you don't.
No.
But I don't. You don't pass gas, do you? Very
Not
rarely.
Very, very
and
rarely.
And when it does, it smells like flowers.
That's because I'm a saint.
Exactly. And then, but Normano... I always Whoa. Know when he's passing
yeah,
gas
yeah.
because he makes a big production out of it.
Oh yeah,
he like sits on one cheek now. Just
and also he makes actual noises too.
Yes, but just the fact of like just now I showed you the movement.
Yeah,
I got on
way
one cheek
over. Yeah,
and just by hey, that by doing that,
that's a clue.
I also felt like I could have farted then.
Oh,
like oh, just by doing that made me want to pass a little bit.
Oh,
so maybe it's the movement itself.
Yeah,
also I could take a. You know, I could poop a little bit.
Yeah, you
but,
could.
But oh well. We'll move that down the field a little bit further.
I appreciate the football metaphor.
Yeah. Exactly. Because that's how long my colon is, supposedly, right? It's 100 yards, something like that. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a field goal.
Yeah, exactly. So I was thinking
Three
about...
3 points, yay!
I was thinking about your... You had this conversation with your brother decades ago. Decades ago. And... I was
kind of like the last time I talked to him.
Yes. And I remember you saying that he was a yuppie. And you said, which is upperly mobile, upperly yuppies. No, what's up here? What's a yuppie?
Young and upperly mobile person. I don't know.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And then you said, oh, he was dating his girlfriend for a long time.
Yeah.
4 years.
Yeah. So, 4 or 5 years.
Are you
going to
be
time.
Like, oh, are you going to be a dink?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what's a dink? Double income, no kids.
Yeah.
And then a year later, he was married.
Yeah. Oh, he was like
6 months.
A month later, he had proposed.
Dazed? Yeah. Like, I think I'd like to be double income, no kids for a while. That'd be kind of cool.
Why let her have her money?
Right. Exactly.
let's
combine
her
money and get really rich real fast. And he's like.
And he is.
Yeah, he is. So that helped him out. And so he should say, thank you.
Yeah.
And you should say, you're welcome.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen. Anyway, so there's a new phrase out there
mm-hmm.
called Henry. Are you
Henry.
A Henry?
Henry. Mm-hmm. The name of our first doggie.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you know what it stands for?
No.
High earner,
No.
Not rich yet.
Oh.
Higher, not rich yet.
Oh, that's so cool.
Because what's going on is that there's this group of people out there, they're millennial-like.
Yeah.
That
are high earners.
They're high earners,
per
se. But
not able to.
But they're not able to really.
Yeah.
Like, they expect to, like, well, shouldn't I be able to afford all of this stuff and travel and all this stuff?
I'm making $200,000 a year. Shouldn't I?
No, not really. Not really. Not really. No. So they're high earners, not rich yet, and they're depressed.
Ah, we should Henry'd.
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 Yeah. And so then I was trying to think of one, but I couldn't think of one because you depressed me this week because you showed me the AARP magazine. And basically, the new age of bias is for people over 50.
Yes.
Like, over 50?
Yeah.
If we're living to be 100 and we're not good enough until we're 30, so we're only protected for 20 years of our life, and then the rest of the time we're irrelevant?
I blame those millennials on that because they think that anybody over 50s is in their way and like taking some of their resources. They don't understand that that resources metaphysically we are all abundant.
And not only that,
they do not, they see you as taking, you should have made it by now. And if you haven't, please go become an expat someplace in a foreign country.
What they should think of me is like a person that is willing to work at Culver's or drive
and, seven. And walk in the freezing rain to
they
your truck.
Don't do that.
What? I would not do that.
Exactly.
I know the lady that we have this, she must be 85 at our Culver's. And, you know, you pull up to Culver's, you place your order, they give you this number and you put it on your window and you pull up. At least at our Culver's, you do. That's their system. And this lovely little 85, you know, gray-haired granny, pulled hair in a chignon, big thick glasses. She'll come out and she'll have a lovely day. And I'm thinking this is Julie always goes, she's doing this because she wants to feel, you know, alive and validated. And I'm like, no, this was part of her failed retirement plan.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
You see how she failed.
Well, I guess. I mean, I don't want to do that to people.
You don't want to judge them like
I don't want to judge.
No,
I mean, it's to me, it's like if I was having to, walk out and deliver Culver's, I would not be like, oh, yeah, this was what I wanted to do. This was it, you know. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. And I just feel like it is just literally like good for them. They're out in the world. Mm-hmm. This is their second income with their Social Security.
Yeah.
And it keeps them out there engaged.
I think too, another group that I've seen come and go though.
Yes.
In our county market and in our Walmarts, there's a group of very, very older people that think they want to do the cart work.
Oh, right.
Because it's going to make them walk all day long.
Right.
And you see them on their first day or their first week. They're happy. They're moving the carts. And then do they really last more than a month? Have you seen them more than a month?
Not really.
It doesn't work out.
No. Cart work is hard.
Cart work is hard.
And
like the greeter, we know our greeter.
Yep.
He takes his bike. He's probably about 90. And he greets people.
Yep.
And he can do that job.
Yes, he can.
But I don't think he could do the cart job.
No. And like, you're right. There are jobs that just, and are they pushed out of that job? For someone younger?
Oh, interesting. I doubt it. I was talking about this, okay, being very serious about the bias. We were on a website because we'd gotten an email from this one company that was interested in us pulling a load from Ottawa, Illinois, round trip.
Right.
And so I had not heard of this company before. So within their email, I saw their website. So I went to it. And I had, and it was probably maybe 50 pages of website. Mm-hmm. And it was filled with pictures. And I did not see any, not even like 50 years or older person. Right. And they said, we have a lunchroom and that we have, internal food, but we also celebrate by bringing food carts in. And then I showed a picture of the lunchroom, and I swear to God, everybody had like little tiny chocolate milk cartons.
Oh my
and
God.
It looked like a child, and everybody looked young. And they said, we're interested in the technology of logistics. And so they had and it said, and if you come on and hire with us, you will have your own safe space, not a workstation, but a safe space, which no one can enter unless you choose to.
Oh, interesting.
And then they showed us pictures of safe spaces, everybody's uh-huh. safe space. And
they're all smoking pot.
90% had Star Wars stuff.
No.
Some had pictures of kitty cats or whatever, Hello Kitties and stuff. And I was freaking the fuck out. And then I started to realize what they were talking about, that there's this bias.
Yeah.
Because they were actively looking. They had something like 10 pages of jobs.
And
all over. Because this company has satellite offices all over the country.
And you're not the person they're looking for.
They're not the person. That we're good enough to deliver the
right.
products, but we are not good enough to work for them.
I just heard on this one news, Doug loves to listen to MSNBC on a Sirius radio. And I think...
You mean MSNB Insane? That's what Fox calls it.
Oh, no.
MSNB Insane.
yes, that one. And there was a company saying, my new computer career, computercareer.com or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, there's a million jobs right now waiting to be filled in security, tech security.
Cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity.
That's the new buzzword.
Yes, cybersecurity. You don't have to know a damn thing about computers. We will teach you in as little as 4 months. And I thought to myself, is this the new fraud? You know,
probably,
you know, like, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, you could learn how to be a lawnmower repairman,
mm-hmm.
you know, a small plant repairman.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a seamstress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can learn all these skills in the comfort of your own home in about 6 to 8 weeks. Right. You'd give them your. And you know what I'm saying? And these commercials would occur, like, you know, during my lunch hour at school. I go home because I live right across the street from school.
Yeah.
I walk home, have this. I'm like,
and you wanted to be a seamstress.
I did not, but they had like a list of all these things. I think one was a CNA, you know.
In the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, comfort of your own home. 6 to 8 weeks. You have a degree. You have a full-blown career. You know, and the truth is, we really are lacking in small
appliances,
small engine repair.
Yeah, we are.
We have to go. So we've got to go 100 miles to get our.
No, we can go to Oregon.
Yeah, we can. Our
if,
Ace,
but
will
if
do
they're
it.
Open,
yeah, our Ace guy will do it in Dixon.
Yeah,
he will
I love
do it.
It. So are our Oregon guys.
Yes,
they will help us.
And but the problem
can I just say a plug for Ace?
Yeah,
God bless you, Ace.
God bless you, Ace.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware man, and it's true.
And it's true.
It's true in Dixon,
but
and
I think
Oregon.
The one problem that these now almost obsolete jobs are is that if it costs 3 hours to fix it at $50 an hour at mm-hmm. $150, mm-hmm. I can literally buy now.
Oh yeah,
a new lawnmower for $150.
$99.
That's what we did. You know,
yeah.
Not the best, but it's
loud.
It'll work.
it'll get the job done.
It'll prove to you that it's on. Hey, this baby's on. You know.
Well, you know. speaking of that, like careers that are no longer. I mean, we have had our sofa twice now reupholstered.
Yes,
and the lady that we did the second time was not really interested in doing it, but she did it for us.
Yes, thank you.
Now she won't even take our calls.
No, she won't.
We want to do it a third time.
Yeah.
Because we love it.
Yeah.
We absolutely, because our pit section or whatever you want to call it.
Fits our living room perfectly.
We want it done again. And she's like, oh, no, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Please don't bother me.
Yeah.
And so we cannot find, and I was talking to Marcia. She would like to have her wingback chair reupholstered.
Yeah.
She goes, but where are you going to find someone like that? It's cheaper to go out and buy a wing chair,
yeah,
wingback chair.
Exactly. And so therefore, they never get reupholstered
yeah.
and so forth.
And really, Come on, you young people talk about saving the planet, but you won't be willing to take a course in reupholstery.
How dare
F
you?
F you.
You can get that course done in 4 or 6 weeks from home.
That's right.
And you can learn it. And they're like going,
have a certificate.
Yeah. They're telling me you can find all that information out on YouTube and you can do it yourself. And yeah. I'm like, oh, man.
I don't want to, though.
And then I can be the Gnu Geek Economy on Fiverr. And I will reupholster your for $5 a minute.
Virtually.
Virtually. I'll help you out with that. I know, it's crazy out there in the world.
It's crazy.
I know, it's just crazy. So I try to think of an anagram, or, you know, is that right? You know, like
whoa, what's it? Tell me. What's like, the word?
Well, I was trying to think of one that will, because we want what?
For Henry?
Henry is one.
Yeah.
But what's one if you're 50 and, you know, irrelevant? I was thinking like Fiat. 50, irrelevant,
and tired.
Tired. That's right. 50 and irrelevant, tired. Nah. Yeah. Something like that. I was
That's
thinking.
That's not bad.
No, no.
It's not bad.
I was thinking more of like a car thing. But then you go like, what do people over, like readers, because everybody over 50 has to have readers, right?
Yes, right.
Really? Yeah, I can't
what
think
is,
of it.
What does readers stand for?
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, yeah. Too much.
No.
Not fun.
I think that the young people would say, oh, they're a Fiat.
A Fiat.
Yeah, because really, in the old days, Fiat meant fix it again, Tony.
Exactly.
Because you really could not.
Exactly.
You could not get a Fiat to work.
50, irrelevant, and tired.
Yeah.
There you go.
Missed the mark.
Exactly.
Missed the mark.
What are you going to do about it?
Only now have skid marks.
That's right. Yes. Only now have skid marks. And I apologize if you can hear our dog in the background. Something must be going on. He must see a squirrel.
Yeah, and not only that, but Normano is with him. And so for Normano to not even be going, oh, you know, there's a radio show happening in the other room.
No.
Do you think that would be kind of a little annoying to hear the dog continually barking in the background?
Well, it's funny because you've been having some serious concerns about Normano. Not serious in the level of like 10 being, oh my gosh,
right.
Serious.
Right.
More like a 4 or 5.
Yeah.
You know, not enough to take an opiate, but getting close that you'd want one. I may need an opiate for this. Get through this.
I seriously want to become addicted to opiates.
Because this would be very helpful to me. No, not to make light of the opiate addiction.
Oh, damn. Julie, you appropriated the suffering of the opiate-addicted people right now. Damn it. Damn it.
I know.
Damn it.
They can appropriate my illnesses anytime they want to. I give them permission. So anyway, so you've been having me on high alert. Like, you know, keep a lookout for your dad. Like, what's going on? And sometimes it's just literally... like today, he comes in with your coffee, and yours is in a McDonald's cup.
Right,
you like drinking a McDonald's.
I prefer it,
and his is in a thermos, like a driving thermos. And he, for some reason, switched them. He gave you the thermos and him the McDonald's cup.
Right,
and you said, "Normano, now we did this yesterday too, but is this what I get?
I said you gave me this thermos cup yesterday as well.
And that was wrong yesterday.
Yeah. And he didn't even remember that.
Yeah, it was wrong a day. And then I put that in the back of my mind. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should be aware of it.
Mm-hmm. It's on your list.
Right. And then I'm driving with you this week. And at some point, I'm like going, I have a point to turn left or right. There's only one way I can go left or right, heading to Dixon. And it depends on what we're doing. And at that moment, I turn right, because we usually turn right. And you said to me, oh, so I guess we're not going here because you didn't turn left. And I said, I literally could not remember where we were going first. And so I just took a guess. And so I make those kind of crazy mistakes all the time.
Yeah.
And so then that's why I cut him slack.
Right.
And so I'm wondering.
And I had to hear that lecture.
Yeah, you do hear from me.
No, because I said, I guess we're not going here. And you went, and this is why
I
cut Normano slack, Mom.
Right.
Now, because this is why I do this as well.
Yeah, now I know why I brought this up. Because I was thinking I want to talk about something else. But I couldn't remember. Because there's no free will in the world. And I brought this story that led me to the line of cutting people slack. And now I remember what I want to talk about. And I want to talk about... forgiveness. Ooh, I know, right?
Audience, hold on. Great topic.
Yes, right.
Not as good as fart jokes.
Exactly.
Or does it have to do with?
With fart jokes.
Oh, you know? Okay, great.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
And so anyway, we're having a little technical difficulty here. I hope it's going to be okay. We'll see. We were listening to Sam Harris interview Andrew Cohen.
Correct.
Andrew Cohen, back in the day, he's a huge meditation teacher, mm-hmm. but he had like a community going mm-hmm. that turned a little cult-like. Mm-hmm. He didn't screw his students. Mm-mm. He said, I would never do that.
Yeah.
But there was some other hanky stuff going on.
Would I torture them?
A little bit.
Yes.
For
their own good.
For their own good.
Yeah, sort of my parents.
Yes. You know, you must learn discipline to know what, you know, all this stuff is about. And this thing went on for decades. This community went on mm-hmm. for decades. Had like 30, 40 people. It was really pretty, you know, 300 or 400 people.
Right.
Underneath them. Hold on 1 second. Okay. And then,
we're just having technical difficulties, people.
Yeah. And hopefully it's going to be okay.
Okay.
See? it'll be, I guess. I don't know what I should do. Should I stop it now?
So did it break?
No, we're going to keep going.
Okay.
But you brought this idea. So in some way, Sam Harris is having like this huge conversation with him and talking about how it turned cult-like, what
Andrew
he did
Cohen.
Wrong.
Correct. Because he's Andrew back Cohen. Teaching again.
Yeah. And you say, boy, Sam Harris is really raking him over the coals.
I thought
this
so.
This happened a long time ago.
Right.
You know, he's already
ago.
Asked for, you know, apologies.
Forgiveness. Yeah.
And he asked for apologies as well.
Yes.
He said, and like, when can we forgive and forget and move on?
Right.
When is it appropriate?
I asked that question because I did feel that Sam Harris, not that he was like ultra, you know, but I felt like this happened a long time. He did have his mea culpa moments. Yeah. He's said in letters and all of this, you know, what happened and how it's, you know, where he's at today.
Right.
And I just said, because I study comedians.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were people that in the, you know, could have, make fun of gay people.
Right.
Have a good gay joke.
Right.
And not really mean anything horrible.
Right.
Because it was okay at the time.
Right.
For that time and that temperature of that culture.
Right.
But today, you know, you'd have to say, I'm gay. Or
right.
You gotta own it.
Everything has to be a memoir.
Yeah.
And that gets a little old. Because then you cannot tell.
Because I would say, I don't know if I'm taking part of your what you wanted to talk about, but the fact that something that you said 20 years ago, and you go, well, no, I'm not the same person.
And it's not the same context.
Correct.
And also, when we all progressed along, it's no longer funny. You know, I mean, things that were funny back then were funny in the context of the time it was happening.
Yeah.
And like, we've always been progressive.
And also some of those jokes push the river.
They do.
So that you could explore that.
And some of the jokes made you feel uncomfortable while being funny to go, oh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's also funny.
Yeah.
And that's why it's ridiculous. And now it's like, oh, it doesn't even move my counter. I'm like, tick up, you know, beat
but,
my
but
thing.
But
so
for
not-
you to have to be ostracized because that somebody saw you on a YouTube video.
Right. And because people don't take off their YouTube stuff mm-hmm. and cleanse that stuff or something, and also people can capture it.
Right.
That's the other problem. You can capture it. And so we bring up this stuff. Can people be forgiven? And I want to say yes. Forgiven and forget. Like, move on. And in some ways, people who have, who write, like, so Sam Harris was talking about writing, like, oh, I read people who wrote blogs about this, your cult, and
right.
who had really did not come away feeling better, but worse.
Right.
And your mom wrote a book about you, or somebody wrote a book about him as well, uh-huh. and the experience and all
that
stuff.
I did not know about that. Yeah,
and,
go ahead.
All this stuff.
Right.
And in some ways, those things are perpetual as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I wrote that, but yet I've moved on now.
Right.
But now it's still in the consciousness.
Yeah.
Even though that person who had all this fervor, they may have moved on already.
Right.
They put it out there, though, but now they moved on. Mm-hmm. So I guess in some ways, their reaction to the comment is also... Mm-hmm. set in stone in that time.
Yeah.
They may not feel that way anymore either.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, dude, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. Yeah. I moved on. You moved on. It's all good.
Right. I hopefully have healed from that experience.
Yeah.
And not went and looked for another father figure.
No. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there are people who are very angry with their parents.
Right.
And perpetually, and hold that anger to the day they die.
But they also find... what they may need another guru.
Yes, they're looking for a father figure or a mother figure.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, are they going to ultimately be disappointed by that guru as well?
Yes,
of course, because they've
not
healed themselves.
Exactly, and because everybody can see somebody through a different lens.
Right.
I can see you because I thought to myself, I have had businesses go on. And some have not done well. And I've made great connections. And then they've had to close off those connections because the business closed down or something.
Right.
And I can think on my end, it was heartbreaking.
Right.
On them, they could be very angry or disappointed in me. Like, I put a lot of time in this or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're thinking, you know. Mm-hmm. But they're so – everything's so complex.
Right.
That I tend to completely see the situation from everybody's point of view. Mm-hmm. And so I always go, you know, mm-hmm. I cut everybody slack here.
Yeah.
Please cut me slack. I cut you slack because this is. It is.
I know you said this week, you said, you know, Mom, I cut you slack because you used to make me go to the grocery store on my bike. And the amount of things on the list kept getting bigger and bigger until where I had to ride my bike with no hands.
Right.
I had to hold the bags and learn how to ride my bike with no hands.
Yes.
And at one point you came home and said, Mom, I cannot do this anymore. And at 14, I said, take the station wagon.
Yes.
And at those times, the station wagon was a station wagon.
Exactly.
You know, and then you said, I forgive you, Mom, for making me start driving at 14. Driving the car.
I don't remember why I brought that up. It was contextual information about that. But I never had anything to forgive you with. I mean, there was nothing in my field that felt weird about that then or now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that you wouldn't have done that now.
No. I hope not.
I mean,
depending on how bad I needed to go to the grocery store, I would just call
Uber.
Yeah.
Or somebody. Something, right?
Uber delivers.
Yeah. I would have got everything freeze dried on.
But it was so close. You lived so close to the grocery store.
About 5 blocks away.
Yeah.
Well, not really. It was a couple miles away.
And and you had kind of had practice with Dad's semi a little bit. Didn't you kind of?
No. You guys took us out when we were young. I don't know why. You were young parents, but you guys always thought, well, we could have a medical emergency where you guys might have to drive.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
What, and at eight?
Yeah.
At you learned how to
when
drive.
You're 30 years old. Tell me, what medical emergency is that going to be? And
27. I was 27. Yeah,
exactly. Excuse me. You're 27. There was none. You survived quite well. But you started teaching us to drive. As soon as I could touch the pedals, you felt it wise to, you know, different
but
times.
If you needed a little drink to calm your nerves, that was okay as well.
Exactly.
They took that away, too.
They took that away, exactly.
What the hell? What do we live in, North Korea?
Where our children can't drive?
I mean, they have to wear helmets everywhere?
Can't drink and drive? What is going on in the world? It's crazy. I know, right? But that's so I do think about this idea of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were channeling and, okay, guys, getting to a little area here, channeling, but you channeled Mother Mary. Through Padre Pio. And she said, there's no need for forgiveness because I know you already.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I love this, what she said. I love you all equally, but individually.
Yeah, equally, but individually.
Yeah.
you know, and in some ways, like, hey, I expect more from you because I know you better.
Yeah. she goes, really, Julie?
Yeah.
And then to Norm, she went, I give him a pass.
Yeah, I know Norm well.
Normano.
Well, you know, I say
that's
weird.
Our Norman.
I have one thing that I feel bad about growing up. And it's only because, but yeah, at the time, everybody did it. And what it was we had a dog named Henry, and we tethered him a lot to a tree.
Yes, we tethered
him. Not a lot.
We
I mean, like, him. He also was indoors. He also
we did not, it was our first dog. We did not know how to handle a dog.
But a lot of people
had
tied dogs to trees back then.
Yeah.
And then somewhere down the line, you just don't do that.
Right.
And you feel very weird when you see it happen. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and now you never see it happen.
No.
You just don't ever see it happen. But in that day, you see dogs tethered all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the thing that I understand that totally.
Yeah. So I feel, that's the only thing in my past that I feel somewhat, and yet it's weird to think I feel that way about it because I was young. And at the time, it was culturally acceptable.
Yeah. But do you remember just probably about 10 years ago, the guy that he's an old guy, maybe he was in his 80s at that time, and he had a dog that he would tether to the tree. He had a mechanic shop.
Yeah.
And I think he slept in the back. I mean, I think it was, but the dog was always tethered 24/7, day or night.
Yeah.
Always tethered. And it was breaking our hearts. So we would bring it a bone.
Yeah.
And it was so cute because he would take the bone. And what would he do?
He immediately buried it. I know.
Like, he was like, oh my God, I may never get this bone again. Yeah. I am going to bury it.
Yeah.
And so we stopped and we talked to the guy and we said, you know, at least you wanted to walk him.
Yeah.
And you said, can I walk your dog? And he goes, oh, I'm sure he'd love that. And you went, what's his name? And he said, oh, Bucky.
Yeah.
And so we would walk Bucky.
Yeah.
And it was so cute because we got up close to him, up close and personal.
Yeah.
He had the biggest buck teeth ever. And as soon as he had this little smile, like, oh my God, and you saw these huge buck teeth.
Yeah.
And you went, now I get it.
Now you get why he's called Bucky.
Bucky. Yeah.
Like, oh, then that took that was wide.
Yeah. And so what's interesting is that you started and then I saw other people.
Yes,
that would stop and just take Bucky for a walk.
Yeah,
up and down the street.
Yeah,
and he would just look so proud. He'd have his little
tail. It was very weird because we all liked this dog.
Yeah,
just like he was right in the middle of town almost.
Yeah.
You're like everybody goes to town saw this dog.
Yeah.
Tethered.
Yeah, 24/7.
Yeah,
and he had like an old truck near him so that Bucky could get out of the weather. Like,
right.
So he would go under the truck.
Yeah, and he also had a dog house too, a little dog house, I think. You know.
I think so too.
Yeah. And so, but you know, and so I do, that's what I, and yet there's no thing to, like I said, I shouldn't carry this
burden. Yeah.
Because
I release you from it.
Oh, thank you.
No, seriously.
Good. I appreciate it.
Me too.
Not years of release. But I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But it's like we live and learn. And so when you, one of the things we're doing this year that's new, we're doing a daily meditation with Sam Harris called Waking Up.
Yes.
On his app.
Yes.
Excuse me. We should become affiliates for him because we're enjoying his meditation. But he talks about, in one day, he talks about truly believing that no one has free will, that we are so programmed.
He calls it conditioned.
And conditioned through where we've been born, what we see, what we watch, everything.
Right.
That to, I mean, and do
to think that we have free will is silly.
It's silly.
Yeah.
And if you know that, if you think about it that way, you can have complete compassion for anybody who you're dealing with.
Right.
And so, and that softens up my reactions to everybody or anybody.
Right.
You know, like, yes, we're having this meeting right now. I feel you're being, you know, assaulting or whatever, but I have no idea what your day's been like.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what your family was like, what's been going on with your life. Can I, you know, if I really walked in your shoes today, would I be responding the same way?
Are those people that have the filter that they hear everything and they take it defensively?
Everything defensively.
And it's like at some point you just go, I'm not even saying a word.
No, I'm like, okay, like, yeah. I go,
because everything they hear is through a defensive mechanism.
Yes.
Like, how was your day? Well, what's going on? What do you think it was?
Exactly.
Am I acting like something? You know, like,
exactly. I had said something to somebody recently. I won't tell the name of this person. She's not in my circle ever.
The very circle. Uh-huh.
But once in a while, she'll pop in. I have to deal with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Ghost, oh, I said, I go, if I, I'll just go, okay, it's Doug's ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, his kids were on vacation. We were kind of exchanging. We need to pick up the kids and so forth. I was going to go with him. And I was the one communicating with.
Because he refuses to.
Refuses to communicate with her.
Which is really creepy. Weird. On his part.
Yeah.
To make you do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with her. She's, you know, I find her nice enough. I don't interact with her.
Right.
The kids are older. There's no point.
Yeah.
But this was a point that had to be done with. And so I called her because I hate talking
in text.
Yeah, it takes so fucking long.
Well, not only that, but everything is, if you don't put a smiley face over everything, people think that you're, in the old days, if you did stuff in caps, people thought you were insulting.
Yes.
Now, if you don't add in like
emoji,
a ton of emojis.
Which I always do.
They think that, oh, what the fuck
what's
is
going
she
on?
Saying?
She's so sad. What's up?
Yeah.
So anyway, I think I said, you know, we're, you know, here's a time we can pick up the kids, but if you need us to pick up the kids earlier, we can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I don't need you to do anything. And I'm like, and I go, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I go, okay, I'm going to hear her through her own lens.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, I go, you know what? I might have, I chose the wrong word there. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have chose the word need. I go, but if something's going on in your life that I'm not aware of, we, you know, here is what works best for us. But if something better would help you out, I can make it happen. And she goes, oh, no, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, great.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, you gave people too many alternatives. I would never do that.
You wouldn't have, but you wouldn't be in the situation either.
No, I wouldn't have.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just helping you out, girlfriend.
Sure. I had to talk to this person.
I'm throwing you a bone here.
In early childhood, you give people two options.
That's right.
I said.
Exactly right.
It's
more than in early childhood.
I know, but I said, here's a time we can do. If this doesn't work out, let me know. And I said the word need,
mm-hmm.
and she got offended by
mm-hmm.
it. I didn't give her too many
options.
I don't
need anything from you, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. And I backed away because I'm like, this is not a fight I need to win.
Yeah,
I
love
know what
that.
I care about.
Because the FBI came to the house shortly after that saying, Julie, you defused that situation so brilliantly. And, you know, we train our agents in the five steps of mediation and how to defuse a situation. And we noticed that you added two more essential steps.
Yes.
And we need you on contract. We're going to hire you, paying you $50,000 to add,
to
teach our young agents
how to defuse
those two extra steps in defusing a situation.
Yes. Now, if you don't know the inside joke, that was Penn Jillette talking to Joe Rogan. And as we're hearing this discussion, I look behind me and Mom is doing her manual jerking off motion. Like, could these people jerk themselves off anymore? Yes, you're great.
Yes, they could jerk themselves off.
Yes, they could. And they did.
Yes,
and they did. So, girlfriend, how's the show?
How many times did you fart during it, Jillian?
About four or five.
Okay, then it was great.
Five star great. Okay, it was great.
It was great. It was great.